to today's episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Glad that you're here. I'm pumped to be here with you. And today we're going to talk about things that are holding you back on your human and organization performance journey. Here we go. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd LLC. Make sure you head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com, for fundamentals, learning teams, support, and so much more. Send us an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, and be sure to follow along with us on all things social media at thehopnerd or at Sam Goodman. Welcome to today's episode. Welcome, 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 everybody. Here, I've got to put on my most proper, excited podcast voice. Here we go. That's not going to work. It's not going to work today. How are you today? I've been trying my best. Hold on. That wasn't fake. Oh, my God. Cold brew. Cold brew soothes the ragged podcaster's throat and vocal cords, I guess. I've been trying my best to not put on podcast voice. Avery makes fun of me. My daughter, she makes fun of me for that. It's hard not to, I think. We're up basically 400 episodes in, right around 400 or so. Years and years of podcasting. And you just kind of start doing that. I don't know. I poke fun at myself with that. And I say that it's, when you go into like one of those usually crappy hipster restaurants. And don't get me wrong, there's a bunch of great ones out there. But when you go in one and you start seeing things that are elevated on the menu, I went and had a Southern inspired dinner the other day. And I'm kind of from that region that claims to be hillbilly, half claims to be Southern, kind of down in that tip end of Virginia. A nice little melting pot of mountain and Southern culture. And I know a thing or two about Southern food and some of what they were making was mountain food. And I got real excited when I saw fried green tomatoes on the menu until I realized that they were elevated. And I don't know how y'all feel about it, but I don't think you have to elevate a fried green tomato if you do it right. Yeah, I don't think you have to actually elevate that any more than it's already elevated. But sometimes you just kind of naturally elevate things. Like when you go into podcast voice, radio car salesman, announcer voice, welcome everybody. I don't think mine's that bad. I really don't. Avery says that it's that bad. But I don't know. I just get excited and this is what comes out. It truly is. This just kind of happens because I get amped up on cold brew and Zen or Zemo. Zemo recently because Zen's still kind of hard to find. And I pop in here and I get to chat with you about stuff that we really want to chat about, stuff that we're excited about, stuff that we're passionate about. And most of it is making safety suck less. The biggest chunk of it is human and organizational performance. And some of it is talking about fried green tomatoes. Yeah, that's how some of it goes. And a little bit of it is about cold brew. Thanks for being here. Whether you've been here for a real, real long time, or you're not here for a long time, but you're here for a good time, that's cool too. Or if you're brand new here to the Hop Nerd Podcast, thanks for being here. If you haven't checked out the website, make sure you go check it out. It's thehopnerd.com. We've got free resources and stuff over there. I've got to get some downtime. Those free resources are good, and a lot of you use them. And especially for you new folks that are kind of getting started on this hop journey, there's some handy-dandy stuff over there for you. But I got to sit down and actually, I've got a bunch of stuff that I just haven't uploaded there yet because it's been busy, y'all. I know you can relate. Planes, trains, automobiles, at life, trying to sleep somewhere in between there, all that kind of sort of stuff. It'll be there, along with all those kind of like wacky, funny videos that I've been making. I'm going to put those over there on the website, too, so you can start to download those and use those as you see fit. The basic rules with the stuff that we put out there for free. It's yours. The main thing is, like, use it for the right reasons. Use it to do good. And the other thing is when you take it and make it better, send me back the better version. That's all that I ask. That way we can share the even better version. And I'm confident that you will make it that much better. Other than that, busy year coming up. Let me know if you need a hand. I would love to come out and help your organization with human and organizational performance. There's a variety of ways that we can do that through doing these human and organizational performance workshops. I've been doing a lot of these, like, smaller leader sessions too here recently with organizations that are just getting their foot in the door of this. I've been doing a lot of that with safety teams. I've been doing a lot of these two-day kind of HOP and operational learning deep dive kind of workshops. I've been spending a lot of time doing keynotes, and I've been spending a whole bunch of time, fortunately, on the pre-event side of operational learning, helping organizations as a learning team facilitator or helping to teach learning teams by co-facilitating learning teams, operational learning and learning explorations with folks in their organization, which to me is like the coolest way to do that. I always recommend that to folks. It's like, if you're going to put folks through the workshop, first, make sure that they want to be there. That's always good for your learning team facilitators. Make sure they're just as pumped about this stuff as we are. Number two, don't just throw them through the workshop and say, ta-da, now you're prepared to go to learning teams. Because, yeah, I know the framework now. I know how that works. But I remember when I did my first learning team, a story that I share quite a bit in keynotes and sessions, and I'm sure I've shared it here a couple times, more than a handful, so I won't get back into it today. But it's scary. Yeah, even I could put you through a month-long workshop, and you're sitting in that room facilitating operational learning. It's scary. Yeah, it's scary, even to those in this world that are more natural towards maybe some of those things or more experienced towards some of those things. Guess what? It's still scary. Yeah, it's scary. So either pairing those folks up with more seasoned facilitators that have kind of done this before, those internal champions that you have, or bringing somebody like me in to kind of help you do that. It's a great way to not only build confidence in your learning team facilitator, operational learning facilitators, but it also lets them experiment a bit. You know, I don't know. I see that when I'm in the room, they're willing to get out on a limb a little bit more in a good way. They're not as reserved. There's this thing where they're learning from me, I'm learning from them. It's cool. It's just a cool experience. So if any of that stuff sounds like something you'd be into this grand year of our Lord 2025, let me know by reaching out to thehopnerd@gmail.com. It's my most favoritest thing. And I do have to admit that I kind of hate travel. I really do. I don't think any of us that actually travel for a good chunk of our work, and most of you listening here probably do or you have, it seems all super like flashy and exciting to folks that don't travel every week. And then once you start traveling, you just start to realize that it's a horrific, not great experience. Yeah. And I'm not saying this to knock like hotel chains or airports or carriers or anything like that. Like, most of those are absolutely marvelous, other than the occasional flight mare. They take really good care of me. For me, it's just being away from home. Yeah. It's just being away from home. But here's the but. All of that stuff, it doesn't matter. Like the travel, like I can be away from, like all of that stuff to get to do the work that we get to do, to spend time with you in your organization or at your event, or when we're doing these public events like I've been doing with my friend Steve Scott. We're in the works. We got to get some stuff planned. I know we've chatted about it. We're working up some of those HOP and operational learning in .. events. I don't think it's getting put in the cat out of the bag. I mean, we've been talking about it a lot. Stuff that your organization can sponsor if you're interested in having this kind of public human and organization performance deep dive operational learning workshop in person in a city of your choice, if you want to go with the Uber sponsorship kind of package. All of that being away from home to get to do that kind of work is worth it. And my family understands it. And they're a part of it. And they love it. Because they get to see like the HOP and operational learning in Las Vegas that we did. Jarrell got to come and he hung out and he took pictures. He helped. Like, he was a good chunk of the reason why that event was as nice as it was. And what I mean by as nice as it was is it was like an actual event. Yeah, like he's good at that stuff, way better at that stuff than I am. And so they're all involved in it, and it's so worth it. It's so worth it to get to come out and spend time with you, helping you with whatever you need help with in this human and organizational performance, doing things differently, something, to get to see the result, to get to see the good work that we get to do together, to get to be a small part of that work with you. Oh, man, like, I don't know how to say it other than it gives me, like, I got goosebumps right now thinking about it. That's why I'm so passionate about it. That's why you're so passionate about it. We're leaving things a bit better than how we found them, putting a positive dent. I think not just in our work worlds, but in our world. And that's pretty stinking cool. Now, so after all that rant's over, all of that rant and getting excited about the cool work that we do was to tell you once again that if you need a hand, hit me up, thehopnerd@gmail.com, or you can check out the website, thehopnerd.com, to learn more about what we do. You can book an initial consult. You can just fill out a little form. I'll send you like the rates and all that stuff if you just want to go. We're ready. Super duper easy peasy lemon squeezy. And I'll be there helping you, and it'll be a fun time. Other than that, other cool stuff on the website, merch. Yep. Duh. What else? The videos, they're out there. Follow along on YouTube, pretty much anywhere that you can follow along on stuff. Just search Sam Goodman and or the Hop Nerd. It's pretty super easy to find. You just see my ugly mug staring back at you from that little typically round, right? Round profile picture. And yeah, that's it. Let's jump into today's episode. Yeah, I forgot to tell you, I'm recording this on a Saturday, I guess, to maybe set the tone a little bit. I'm recording this one on a Saturday because Jarrell's working. He travels a bunch and does stuff like that for work. Super duper busy, like most of us are. And Avery's at a little shindig, and I'm at home. I'm at home cleaning, and this is my excuse to not clean the house. Yeah, I'd rather hang out with you for a few minutes. I just scrubbed the dishes. I'm working on cleaning the garage. I'm shampooing carpets. God, I hate carpet. I'm trying to get rid of it. Just not there yet. Few small pieces left in the house. I think it's half of what kills my allergies. But it's a Saturday. And some of the reason why I'm doing this on a Saturday instead of during the week is because I've got some travel coming up this week, and it's going to be kind of wild and busy, and I don't like missing episodes if I don't absolutely have to. And then on top of that, I'm doing some cool stuff here locally with some friends, helping them create some content for their business, totally outside of our world, in the tattoo world of all places. So I'm going to go play with my camera, which is always like a nice little like zen, fun getaway for me to just go like shoot pictures and videos of stuff. And it's really fun to do videos that I don't have to be in. which is a lot of fun too. But yeah, I forgot to tell you that. I'm hanging out with you on a Saturday. So welcome to a Saturday at home of the Hop Nerd here, preparing for a busy week of travel and some fun and then some more travel and then some virtual stuff. And then, yeah, just doing what we do. But today, in the main entree of today's episode, the main course here, I want to talk about stuff that holds us back on our hop journey and this drive towards operationalizing hop. Probably the better way to say that is on this mission of embedding hop within our organization. Maybe you call that hop deployment. I don't know what you call it. We tend to call it the hop journey because it probably takes in a bit of all of those different words. But on this mission towards doing things a bit differently. The first one, and this is all observational, and hopefully it doesn't get too ranty for your taste. I'm going to try my best not to rant. I did write down a couple nice little bullet points here of just observations that I've made as I wander around this planet called Earth, helping folks all over the Earth with this stuff. A few things that I've noticed that tend to maybe not let us move as quickly as we would like on our hop journey, because I hear that a lot. And I think some of that is probably just the nature of change. I think we have to acknowledge that probably right here out of the gate, that most, at least meaningful change, is painfully slow. And at least it feels painfully slow while we're neck deep in trying to make it happen. you get a few years out. In a few years in the grand scheme of things is not very slow at all, but you get a few years out and then you zoom out and you take in all of what has changed over those few years. And the result can be quite breathtaking sometimes. Yeah. And all along we're going, this is so slow. Why is nothing working? Everything's terrible. I know that because I've been there and are there. Yeah, I am there from time to time still. It's just a matter of perspective, I think, sometimes. That when you're neck deep in it, sometimes it doesn't feel like it's changing as much as you think it should. And once you zoom out a bit, you start to see that, oh, wait a second, like it's actually changing much faster than what we perceived it to be changing. So let's just call it slow. Yeah, for whatever reason, whether perceived or real, let's just call the nature of change slow and a bit frustrating. And yeah, I think that's just some of the nature of it. But I tend to hear that, and you probably tend to feel that, and I felt that, and it's just so slow. How do we make this faster? How do we speed up our journey a bit? And some of these kind of bullet points are going to be some answers that maybe you don't want to hear. Yeah, I know. Our executives didn't want to hear these either. I don't know that I wanted to hear them either when we were starting into some of this stuff. And some of these bullet points are going to be probably even a bit conflicting, right? Because it's going to really matter with your organization and where you're at and what you're doing. It's really going to be more specific to you. But again, just general broad observations. Take from it what you will. And yeah, bullet point number one. The thing that's holding us back from going farther and or faster on our hop journey is just doing a little bit. Yeah, yeah. And so I get these calls a lot where it's like, hey, listen, we don't really, it's not said like this, but this is the interpretation of it. This is what is meant by it. We don't really want to do hop. These are senior leaders. These aren't frontline employees. These aren't mid-level leaders. These aren't frontline leaders. These are like directors and executives that are calling me going, we really don't want to do hop, but we want to do some hop-esque things. We don't really want to do things differently, but we want to maybe stick our toe in the water. We want to sit on the fence post. We want to ride the fence. We want to kind of be really what we've always been, but then maybe put a sprinkle in a little bit of hop in there. Because we need the next new thing. You're going to have a bad time, just letting you know. And more importantly, at least in my opinion, your employees are going to have a really, really, really bad time. I wrote this down when I was kind of scribbling on some of this. I said, it might actually be better to do nothing than to do just a little bit of this. It might be better. And might, may. Yeah, you get my point, right? Redneckies. It might be better to do none at all than to do some. And what I was thinking when I was scribbling that is that our employees are already doubtful. They're already super doubtful. And this stuff, the way we've always done things, I mean, that's the devil they know. Not to put this in a pretty extreme context, but that's the devil they know. Now you're going to come along and wait, let me maybe say this. They know how to manage that devil a bit. They know how to survive with that devil a bit. But now you're going to come along and you're going to say, hey, listen, it's exciting. We are rolling out this new thing called Hoppy. H-N-O-P-P, hops. We're rolling out some hopses, and you should be excited because we're excited, and we're going to come out, and we're going to tell you all about human and organizational performance, all you frontline employees, and we're going to tell you how hop applies to you and your job, and you're going the wrong direction already there, friends. And you know that, but so you hopefully hear, you know, the irony and all of this. And we're going to roll out all this big hops stuff to you, or safety differently and stuff. Yeah, we're gonna stutter on the name a lot because we're real unsure about what we're doing. But we're going to come out, we're going to do it, because we need that next rollout. We need that next safety something, because the next safety something is how we become safety superheroes. Yeah, and usually that's because somewhere up in corporate, we're always pushing for the next safety something, and then somebody Googles and they find safety differently. They find HOP, they find safety two, or they found BBS, or they found the next thing, right? And so now we're going to go do that. And we're going to go out and we're going to do this dog and pony song and dance with their employees, where they're already doubtful, they're already worried, because what in the hell is this? Holy crap, this sounds really, 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 really good. Like, this actually sounds good. Holy crap, I've been telling you this stuff for years. Why? Back to the point on going doing this down through organizations. They're going to be going, why are you telling me this? You need to go out there and tell them that. Yeah, and they're right. They're absolutely, absolutely correct. And on the worst days, they're going to get a little excited. And they're going to think that you mean it. And you're just going to do a little bit of it disingenuously. And you're going to prove their suspicion right, that this is actually just more of the same. And if you get to the point that you actually mean it, you're going to have a real hard time doing it. That was the thought behind the scribble in the notebook here, doing a little. It might actually be better to do nothing or none at all than just do a little bit of this, because you're going to get people's hopes up and you're going to let them down. And when you let them down, and even if you really, really mean it the next time, or the third time, or the fifth time, or the tenth time, they're not going to believe you. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's not going to be a great time. And so maybe, the answer is, don't just chase this stuff because you feel like you have to. Go out and collect all the information. Go out and learn as much as you, that leader person, that's going to roll out the next new thing. That person, go out and learn a bit about it. Understand it. So I'm not telling you to sit on your hands and do nothing. I'm just telling you that if you're going to go down this path, make sure that you're ready for it, your organization's ready for it, and actually go down this path. So the doing a little, what I mean by that really is sitting on the fence. Now, what I didn't say is that sitting on the fence and kind of doing some of this, some of that is always a bad thing. I didn't say that everything that we've ever done is terrible, as we tend to get accused of for some reason. I don't understand that argument that everyone kind of lobs at our community of like, well, those hot people just say you don't need critical risk control program. You don't need traditional. Who is saying that? You are the only person that's saying that that's what we're saying, because none of us are actually saying that. Like, most of the evolution of what we talk about is learning a lot about our areas of critical risk. And then in a really traditional sense, putting in strong, robust, error tolerant controls. Yeah, and not to get into a side rant here. So what you're not hearing me say, I'm not saying, I think I'm saying that right. Yeah, you get my point either way. What I'm not saying is that, what I mean by sitting on the fence is that you have to abandon all that you have ever known. No, what I'm saying is you actually got to take action and go down a bit of a different path. You can't just kind of like stay on the same path and kind of pretend like you're on the other one, is what I mean by this. If you're going to go down this path of whatever you want to call it, let's just call it doing things a bit differently, you actually have to start walking down that path a bit. You can't just be on the same old path and say, but we are doing things differently because we changed the font in our safety poster that says blame fixes everything. Yeah, you can't. You just can't do that. So that's what I mean. I'm not saying jump into the swimming pool headfirst blindly. I'm not saying abandon all that you know to work well within your organization. What I am saying is that if you want to go down this path, you need to actively choose to begin to do things differently. You have to actually choose to start doing things a bit differently, which to maybe continue to reduce that down a bit is basically saying, don't do just more of the same old tired crap. Call it something differently, or call it something different. Now I have differently stuck in the brain. Don't continue to do the same old, tired, repetitive crap, especially the crap that we know that doesn't work very well and in a lot of ways is harmful not only to our efforts around operational learning and improvement, but more importantly, dehumanizing and harmful to our employees. But then put up a flag that says this is HOP. again, you're going to have a really, really, really bad time. Which leads me to point number two, which might be a little bit, maybe a bit conflicting there around saying that make sure that you're ready. But don't be afraid to just jump in, right? As I said, maybe with the last one, don't jump in head first without knowing what's going to happen. Don't jump in head first if you're not ready to jump in head first, but don't be afraid to jump in. We get stuck in this analysis paralysis thing and probably this paralysis around strategery. I love that word, strategery, around strategic implementation of insert everything here, because if it's not strategic, then it does not business. And if it's not strategic, then my God, it's going to be crazy. And don't get stuck in that loop of planning crap to death. We plan crap to death. We plan it so much that we never get to the point of actually implementing it because we think that it's got to be absolute perfection on a page before we ever get started with nearly anything in our businesses, in our lives, a lot of ways. If it's not perfect, then I might as well not even start. Boo-hoo. Guess we're not doing that. Come on. There's no such thing as perfection, number one. Again, this is not telling you, don't plan stuff at all. That's not what I'm saying. Now, somebody on the internet is going to say, Sam said, don't plan anything, just jump in, burn everything down. And that's, if you're listening, if you're actually listening to this episode, you know that I didn't say any of that. In fact, quite the opposite. Well, where are we at right now? It's if you're going to do things differently, you've actually got to do things differently. Don't do more of the same crap and hang a banner on the wall and say that this is hot, because it's not. You're going to have a bad time. Make sure that your organization is ready. And when you're ready and you understand the path that you're going down, go down that path. But also, don't be afraid to jump in with a bit of a plan, understanding that that plan is going to actively change as you go, as you learn. But don't be afraid to just jump in and start moving. Don't be afraid to jump in and start moving. So kind of keeping in the theme with maybe the title of this episode, which I don't know exactly what it's going to be, but we're going to be calling it around something around holdbacks, things that derail your journey or hold your journey back or keep you from going farther or faster and or than you'd like. Never getting started in the first place. Yeah, and we mentioned one of the reasons. There's fear, there's this, there's that. But I think a lot of it in our work world is if we don't have the perfect plan of implementation and strategery, then we will never start. And guess what? You never find that plan and you never start. Yeah, so don't be afraid to actually get started. I read a quote the other day, and it was one of those Instagram inspirational, motivational things. I don't think all that's hot garbage. It's nice to get a little bit of motivation in your life every now and again, or read some of those like little nice quotes on the internet. And I looked for it and I can't find it. I know I posted it in my story, but I didn't save it. Side note, if you're into any of the stuff that we've got going on anywhere else on the internet, if you want like the raw and realer, I think it's all pretty raw and real, but if you want the realest cut of all of that stuff, go follow along as the Hop Nerd on Instagram. But the quote said something about like successful people aren't the people that plan the crap out of everything. Successful people aren't the people that practice all of this strategery, that are just constantly like analyzing every single step before they ever take a step. And again, it was put much more eloquently than this. Again, I'm going from memory here, but it kind of went dot, 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 you know, one of those things. And it's like, actually the people that you tend to find, not always, but the people you tend to see be pretty successful and stuff are the people that jump in. They jump in and they fail and they learn, and they jump in and they fail and they learn, and they fail and they learn, and they fail and they learn, and they grow and they fail and they learn, and they grow and they fail and they learn, and they grow and they fail and they learn, and they grow. By the time that many of us that would have already planned and beaten up our plans 47 times, you know, 47 revs of a plan, by the time we get to number 48, and that's our polished plan ready to deploy, those successful people have already been playing and experimenting and learning for sometimes years beyond where we were at. And our plan is just a piece of paper. The stuff that they were doing is real world, figuring out, learning, growing, adapting, making better, tweaking, and changing. And that's so much of what we're talking about here. When we talk about this, don't be afraid to jump in. Don't be afraid to get started. Don't beat it to death. Get a little bit of a plan together, a little strategery. but get started. The thing that you're going to discover about these approaches is we're not talking about these big, massive, grand gut and rebuild kind of stuff. Anyway, we're not talking about this is a point of no return critical step type of stuff. Anyways, what we're really talking about is small micro improvements and adjustments. You have to get started to discover what you need to do, what you really need to do. Your plan on your paper is going to be your idea, your thoughts of what you think you need to do until you get neck deep in operational reality. And then you're going to discover that some of your plan was probably pretty sound and some of it was hot garbage. And you're going to have to rip up half of that plan because you just learned more. Yeah. So don't be afraid to get in the muck, get in the mud, and figure it out. What did we call that next, the second bullet point? Things that hold you back is that you never really get started. You beat it to death. You plan it too much. Yeah. Which leads me to, I think, bullet point number three here. Being shy with operational learning, and shy is probably the lightest way to put that. Not getting started with operational learning early. Well, that's probably a better way to say that. Does that sound more like a strategic bullet point? Strategy? Yeah, so what holds us back? Bullet point number three, not getting operational learning up, functional, working early in your journey. Yeah, so we do this thing where it's like, well, we want to get everything perfect before we even think about changing up anything about the way we learn, or even just to go try to learn more, or to just try to go try some things like learning teams. Now, obviously, there is a middle here that is the most logical point of this conversation. Because the first point of this, or the first side of this, I guess, that we mentioned is that we wait too long. Yeah, we wait too long. We're not really informing our journey with operational reality, so we're stuck on paper with our plan that we were just talking about. That plan is just our thoughts, and even if we have decided to rule this change by committee, it's just the committee's thoughts then. It's not true operational reality. We're not getting at least a wide swath of operational reality. We're just working a plan with very little feedback or very little operational reality built into it. We're doing what we think we should do with good intent, and some of it's probably going to be wildly wrong. Now, the other side of this, back to there's probably a sweet spot middle here, is that we start it before we lay any groundwork. We do what we like to do with many of these things where we say, hop, I don't need any of that principle crap. We don't need to understand it. Just give me that fancy learning team thing you've been talking about and let us just do that. We got it. Just give us the tool. There's a desire to just tools in hands, which I understand. Like, give me the actual thing that I can do. If you want me to do things differently, tell me what you want me to do differently. I understand that. But there's also the piece of this where you have to lay the groundwork first, or learning teams are just going to become more of the same. It's going to be a different process that gives you the same result because it's going to be built on the same assumptions that we've always had. The people are probably the problem. Well, how do you fix people? You beat them. Yeah, it's just going to be another mechanism for blame in our organizations, which doesn't seem like it would be all that handy. In fact, it seems like it'd be a lot more harmful than handy. So yeah, you do need to lay some of that groundwork first. You need to make sure that your organization is ready to hear the things that you're going to begin hearing. You need to make sure that your organization is, okay, let's put in some sub-bullets here. That your organization is ready to hear the things that you are going to start hearing, because you're going to start hearing things that sound like, we set that thing on fire last year and we didn't tell you about it because you're an asshole. Yeah, you're going to hear some stuff like that. Yeah, you don't seem like as much of an asshole now, so I'm comfortable telling you. But we did, and Bob almost died. It was crazy, man. So sub-bullet number one is your organization has to be ready to hear the good, the bad, the ugly, and the scary. Sub-bullet number two, your organization has to be prepared to act on the things that you hear, on the good, bad, ugly, scary that you hear. So people are going to bring you stuff. Okay, we've made it cool. Like, it's cool. Tell us. Like, it's cool. Nobody's going to freak out and piss their pants and melt down on you. But then if you bring me something and I go, yep, we'll get to that in about 16 years, buddy. Really? I just asked to make sure that we actually have respirators in the tool room because we've not been using them. And when it gets really bad, we drive to Home Depot and get them. True story. But we can't get them. Well, you don't understand the complexities of getting things in the tool room. It's like, really? I think, don't you just have to like generate like a number for that in the supply chain stuff? And then like, you just have to get it there and then you can set like a safety stock on it. So there's always like 10 or something like that. It's like, yeah, but that takes time. You just thought 16 years is about, you got to be willing to act. Yeah. You got to be prepared that this stuff's going to come in. And especially at the beginning of this, when you open up those floodgates, you're going to get a lot. You are going to get a lot. I'm here to tell you there are worse problems to have. I would rather have a lot than none. That's for sure. And really, the answer in the past has been we get a lot of nothing. But those floodgates do open, and they can be overwhelming. So the organization for sub-bullet number two, you do have to be prepared to act. And of course, you can't fix the world. Like, that shouldn't be the mentality here. We have to do what we can when we can, of course, duh. But prioritize those things. Like, yes, respirators. That's in its low-hanging fruit. I can fix that in like 3 minutes. Let's go sit down behind a computer. Let's fix it together. We'll figure this thing out. Just act on it. Like, yeah, okay, we have to like actually pick up the entire facility and move it 4 foot that way. That's going to take some like $500 million and 1,000 people. You understand that's not going to happen tomorrow, right? Yep. People understand that. But you have to actually do something with the information that you receive. Yeah, you get that big floodgate open, tidal wave kind of moment in the beginning, and then it starts to normalize, as anything does. And it's not always floodgate, tidal wave stuff, but you got to realize that when we forced people to not tell us stuff for many, 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 many years, problems have been there and they festered. They have festered, they have grown, things have persisted. And then now we are making it okay to share the good, the bad, the ugly, the scary, the weird, the strange with us. And people are actually starting to do that. Yep, you're going to get a big wave right at the beginning. So prepare your organization to deal with that big wave. I've seen many, many organizations that I work with. I recommend that if they have the resources to do something like a FIN team, a fix it now team, that these things that come in that are fix it now items, like they have a process. They develop like a side process where it's like, this was spit out from operational learning. We discovered that this thing actually has had some near finger eating moments. This side process bypasses our normal workflow, something, blah, 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 blah. We actually have a special team that handles this. This work order is constructed, routed directly to them, and it will be done within the next 4 hours. Like these larger organizations, at least, again, larger. This is one example of a way to prepare your organization that does not work for all organizations. If you are a micro mom and pop organization, this is probably not going to work well for you. But if you are a big, gigantic organization of some sort, this works well. We developed a composite crew over here, or we brought in a contractor to live with us for a year. And as these things come in, the actual physical fixes, the things that this needs to change, we route those directly over there, goes through our planning process, goes boom, straight to them. And half the time they get it done before the end of the day. That's preparing yourself for action, deliberately preparing yourself to act on the information that you receive. You just have to know that when we've told people to shut the fuck up, excuse me, I don't drop too many F-bombs in here, but I feel like it's appropriate here. When we have told people to shut, I'm going to say it again, so close the kids' ears if they're in the car, to shut the fuck up for so long, and eventually you tell them the opposite, and you prove to them that you mean it. Of course, the dam is going to break. Do not become overwhelmed by that fact. Plan for it, because it's going to happen. That information has been building up and building up and building up, this logjam of information for years. And now I finally get to say it, of course. But bullet point number two, make sure, whether it's through a FIN team or whatever mechanism you want to come up with, make sure that you're ready to start acting on those things. Because there's nothing worse than finally believing that I can tell you stuff and then actually being able to tell you stuff. And then when I tell you stuff, it just withers and dies and nothing ever actually happens from it. That's a terrible day, because then it's going to put me back into the same position, but for a different reason, of just not telling you stuff. So be prepared. Be prepared when you go down this path of operational learning. Bullet point one, make sure your organization is ready to hear. You can't freak out and panic when people tell you stuff they couldn't tell you before. Number two, make sure that you're prepared to act on the information that you receive. Maybe I'll throw in a third one here. It's like when you get started, be prepared to just suck. at operational learning. And I've said this like 100 times, probably 1,000 times. I say this a bunch everywhere that I go. It gets me in trouble with people that like to sell like 17-day-long workshops on operational learning. But the best way to learn how to do operational learning is to go do operational learning. Yeah, to be willing to suck at it. Yeah, we know this. This is how it always goes. It's that amateur mindset, right? Like, I'm willing to suck at it. That's how I become not an amateur, is I suck at it long enough. And we know that with humans, that sometimes we learn to get things right by getting them so wrong that we learn the right way to do them. We learn how to be really great at them. We get things so wrong that we learn how to be great. Yeah, to be great at something. Now, that's, again, not saying that don't prepare folks or prepare yourself. That's not saying you shouldn't have a workshop or, you know, learn about the frameworks of operational learning or learn from folks that are more seasoned. That's not saying that, you know, you shouldn't call in me or somebody like Steve Scott or Steve Harvey or any of the amazing folks in our world, such as Andrea Baker or Bob Edwards or Todd Conklin, or call in somebody that has been doing this stuff and can give you those pro tips and help you navigate some of those landmines early. Landmines. Yeah, to say it right. Landmines. I thought I said landmans for a second. I've been into that show. I don't know if you've been watching that show. That's a pretty slick show there. I like that. I can't believe the season's already over. I'm waiting for the next one. I'm waiting for Landman, Fallout, and Lioness. Those are the three that I've been into right now. There's another one. There's another one on Apple TV. Oh, what's it? It's about the mathematician guy. I can't think of the name of it, but it's pretty killer too. But, and then whatever that Vince Vaughn one is, what is it, Bad Monkey or something like that? It's cool. Yeah, I'm going to Google that while we take a brief intermission here. How about that? Because I'm getting out of breath, getting all excited about this stuff. Bad Monkey. Yeah, Bad Monkey. It's a great one, too. I think it's on Apple as well. But what I'm telling you is, once you have that information, don't be afraid to, like, go out and not be great at it. Yeah, to go out and not be great at it. You learn how to get good at this stuff by doing this stuff. Start small scale, safe to fail, pre-event, operational learning, nothing that's eating people or cutting off fingers. Start with, hey, that thing sucks, and go out and give it a shot. Yeah, yeah. So what were our bullet points? Be prepared to hear information that you've not heard before, to not panic and meltdown. Number two, be prepared to act on the information that you receive. And number four, be prepared to suck. Yeah. And be prepared to feel like you're getting it all the way wrong. And be prepared to just feel like you're just a miserable sack of garbage because you just don't think any of this is working. But then on the other side of that, be prepared for people to come up to you and say, hey, listen, those learning team things, we're loving them. And yeah, be prepared also to hear elegant, amazingly sweet, sexy, simple ideas for improvement from the folks that actually do the work. Just be prepared for all of that stuff. So which brings us, we're only on what, number two or three here of our actual bullet points, brings us to this middle point of getting operational learning up and getting it running, functioning fast. This middle way that we were kind of hinting at, that you don't want to start before you've laid some of the groundwork. You don't want to wait until you've laid all the groundwork to get started, because if you start too soon, they're just going to flop because you're going to be operating under those more traditional assumptions, and learning teams are just going to become a new pathway to blame. If you wait too long, you're going to be venturing on this journey for years and years and years and years with little to no mechanism to tap into operational reality. So your plans around HOP implementation or deployment or embed nation. I don't know. I'm making up words. I feel like Snoop Dogg over here. You're going to be waiting years, and your plans are just going to be devoid of anything realistic. It's just going to be operational fantasy, and it's going to be well-intended, and it's going to be based on your educated best guesses, but it's not going to be all that real. The sweet spot's in the middle of all that. Yeah. Lay some of the groundwork, get people prepared to facilitate learning teams. Go back to the other bullet points that we talked about. You got to mean this. You got to actually jump in with both feet, maybe not head first, but at least both feet. You got to be willing to do things differently. You got to be prepared to get all this information, all the sub-bullets that we just talked about, and just get started. Yeah, lay the groundwork enough to where you know that people aren't just going to get blamed, beaten, and shamed. Lay the groundwork enough to where you know that learning teams are different and our approaches are different, and we're going to treat them as different. And lay that amount of groundwork, but get it started as fast as you can. Don't wait 3 years. Don't wait a year. I think that you just got to kind of feel that one out, but get operational learning up and running fast. It's one of the things that holds us back. We want to get out there and we want to beat the dead horse. We want to just kind of talk. And I don't know, let's do 17 more awareness workshops with our front line on human and organizational performance. Can't we do some learning? No. Yeah, don't pull one of those. That's definitely something that holds organizations way back on their HOP journey. Okay, let's maybe finish up with another one and maybe some rapid fire. I don't know. We've been going for a minute. And I'm sitting here looking out the window, and it is a dust storm outside. You know that I'm in Arizona, right? And holy crap, I'm usually telling you that if you hear any background noise, it's the sounds of freedom from Luke Air Force Base here. I live not very far away from that, so I get an air show every single day. Cool when I'm doing stuff like this. Really a pain in the butt when I'm recording videos. So if you ever hear a video and you hear like... It's that. Yeah, it's pretty cool. But yeah, if you get any of this weird, like, haunted house sound, it's really blowing out there. Holy crap. I've got some trees out on the patio. I'm watering them and not the landscape. And hopefully they don't blow. they don't blow away on us. That would be bad. I think the next one, what are we on? Number four, not supporting people that are helping you drive this change within your organization. And what I mean by that, I've said this around many, many other things, this included, that we can't just will things into existence in our organizations. We like to think that we can. Yeah, we really like to think that we can. Personally, and I've shared this a bunch, I'm not doing really great at it. I'm trying my best here. I'm trying to be less fat. Yeah. And as much as I put my mind to it, unless I actually go to the grocery store and put my money where my mouth is and buy things that actually assist me in this process, set myself up for success, if I don't actually go gut the pantry of things that I know will derail me, if I don't support myself with the time, the time and the space to go to the gym and get on the treadmill, which is what I'm doing right after this. I'm going to get on the treadmill for a freaking hour. If I don't do all those things to set myself up for success, I will not be successful. I know that I will not be successful. It is as simple as that. I might get a little bit down that path, but I will not be successful in the long run. It's just not going to happen. It just doesn't work that way. We can't just put our mind to it and make it happen. No. Of course not. That's dumb. Just put your mind to it. Sure. Okay. Yeah, I'll do that while I've got 14 pounds of cake in my pantry. I'll just put my mind to it. Okay. No, because I'm going to put my fork to it. That's what I'm going to do. Of course I am. It plays out the same in our organizations. We want this change. We want this stuff to happen. We want operational learning to happen. And most of us really, 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 really want pre-event operational learning to happen. But then when we talk about time and resources to actually do this stuff. Oh, we can't pull people off of production for that. Lord God. Oh, no. Then you don't want it. You don't want it. If I don't want to go to the store and put my wallet down and buy some chicken breast, which I don't really like all that much, instead of stopping at the wonderful restaurant right across the street from my grocery store called Cold Beer and cheeseburgers, which are two of the most wonderful things on this planet, and then I really don't want it. I don't want it. And our organizations, if we say, well, we're not willing to actually take people off the line, off the shop floor, out of the power block, off the site, or at least maybe not even off the site, but off the project, off the job, to spend an hour before things go wrong, to operational learn about this pain point, problem, struggle, this area where we think critical risk exists that might be un or under controlled. If we're not willing to do that in a pre-event capacity, do we really want pre-event operational learning? Do we really, 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 really value it? Do we really want? No, of course we don't. We're just saying that we do, but we really don't want it unless we're willing to give time and space for it. Well, it's no different in the HOP journey overall. You can't just say, woo, put your mind to it. Put your mind to it, and you will be a HOP organization. You can't. Nope, you can't. I'm going to tell you something that might even sound a bit backwards coming from me, but you can't just hire people to do it for you either. It doesn't work that way. You can hire people to help you. You can hire people to guide you. You can hire people to come in and really accelerate your journey around these things just from experience with them and knowing kind of what and how these things kind of play out. But you can't hire somebody to come in and just be your hop people because they're not your people. It doesn't work that way. That's part of not really wanting it, not really valuing it, not really, really wanting it, thinking that you want it, but not really wanting it. You've got to support those internal folks that are your hop champions. And you have hop champions, whether you realize you have hop champions or not, or do things differently champions, whether you realize it or not. Many of you have read the kind of constantly evolving blog post that I keep over on the website talking about hop journey, hop deployment, this kind of stuff. It's over under the blog. If you look for it, you'll see it. There are a few different versions of it because I continually kind of add to it. It's one of those. I haven't added to it in a while. I've got some notes I need to maybe bring into it. That starts way back when doing this stuff internal to even up to now, just experience with what this looks like. It's kind of a living blog post, which is kind of cool. We discovered early on that we had folks that were hop leaders. We've discovered that we had folks that were already doing this stuff, whether they knew that it was called hop or not, or that there were these wacky five principles that we tend to use, or that there were these other ideas. They were already really good. Like, they already knew the value in not blaming people. They already knew that blaming people and beating people up and shaming people for telling them the truth was not a good way to get the truth. They already knew that context was super important. They already knew that their success was driven by being this leader that was approaching things a bit differently, that they valued and prioritized learning above all else. They knew that if they pissed their pants, that it just made them look like a crappy leader and maybe actually made them a crappy leader. Like, they knew all of this stuff and they were already kind of doing that stuff. You have those folks in your organization right now too. Find those folks, get them together, and let them lead this effort in some form, shape, or fashion. That doesn't mean that everyone is going to be a hop trainer. No, no. Again, back to things that you discover early on in your journey is that people bring different things to the table. Like, we had folks that were really, really good at making videos. If you put them in front of a room with people, they were going to have a panic attack. Yeah. That didn't mean that just because they couldn't do everything that we need them to do, that they were horrible. That's not what that meant at all. No, you know, this is a leader. You give people the stuff that they're good at, and you give them some other stuff that helps them stretch and grow a little bit around things that maybe they're interested in. But you don't just say, just because you're not a jack of all trades, then you can't be on the team. No, we found those folks, those kind of like-minded folks that were passionate about this stuff, that wanted to be in that room, that wanted to be a part of this stuff. They were never voluntold. We found those folks that were already leading in this way or believed in this kind of, we got to change stuff and we need to do things a bit differently. We need to humanize our approaches around this stuff. We found out what they were good at. Some of those were trainers. Some of those were learning team facilitators. Some of those were people that helped us make videos. Some of those were folks that helped us write messaging to send out throughout the organization. Some of those were folks that helped us coordinate all kinds of wild stuff, whatever it was that they were good at. Some of those folks were just hop evangelists. That's what they did. They were good at spreading the word. That's what they did. But to the point of our bullet here, is that we didn't say, okay, now just you put your mind to it. You got it. We gave them time. Yeah, our organization gave them time. Gave them some space and autonomy. Believe it or not, we actually gave them some money when they needed it. Can you believe that? We actually gave people money. Yeah, we gave them money. We set them up for success. So one of the things that's going to hold you back big time on your journey is some of it's that mindset of thinking that, well, I don't need anybody to actually do this. I don't need people in my organization actually thinking about this stuff. We'll just wheel it into existence. We'll just tell people to do it. Okay. Maybe that's the end goal. I'm a believer in this thing that I don't really care what we call it. I think that eventually when we get to the place where we want to be with embedding these ideas, that we don't have to think about it that much, that we don't even really have to call it anything. It's not hop, it's just how we do business. It's this operating philosophy that just exists in kind of our DNA in the organization. Like, yeah, I'm with you there, but I don't think that's where you start. Like, you have to do the work of it. Yeah, there is some work that comes along with that stuff. So you need to be thinking about who's going to do that work. Who are the right people to do that work? I think they should be volunteers, not voluntolds, people that are passionate and want to do this work. People that really believe in this stuff. Dare I say are purists in some of these ideas. that are going to stand their ground, that are going to push on the organization in a really positive way, that are going to put that dent in there. Even if it's with their head, they're going to put that dent in there. And we might not have liked it at the time, but we're going to look back and go, damn, I'm glad they put that dent in there because they were right. Those kind of folks. And then you need to empower them with resources. I'm not telling you hand them a blank check. I'm not telling you that this has to be their sole and only function in the organization. No. The folks that were on our team, we had a truck driver. Yeah. And amazing. Like one of the best dudes on the planet and got this stuff. We put this dude in front of executives all the time. He was just excellent. He was one of the best public speakers I've ever witnessed in my entire life. Yeah. Yeah. And he still drove trucks. Of course he did. That was his main job. He loved it. That's what he loved. We had people that were ops managers, operations managers. We had folks that were by title in this organization, a HOP practitioner. Sure we did. We had safety people. Of course we did. Safety professionals. Of course we did. We had HR people. We had change management people. You take a cross-section of whatever the titles in your organization are. That's what we had. And all these folks, volunteers, glad to be their kind of people, excited to be their kind of people, passionate kind of people. And we didn't just put them in a room once a month and say, okay, hammer's out a plan. I said, here, what do you think we need to do? Here, you seem really good at facilitating operational learning. We're going to give you time to do that. In your normal day, you're not going to have to stay after hours to do it. You need stuff, we'll get you stuff. You need gallons of coffee and burritos for your next learning. I don't care. Like, we'll get it for you. Again, not a blank check. Of course, it's got to make sense. Duh. I think it's some of the duh stuff we have to put in here. But we gave them time, space, autonomy, resources. And guess what they did? They shocked us with how amazing... how amazing they were. They came up with some of the most amazing stuff in the planet. They did so much operational learning. They did so much great, amazing work. And that doesn't have to be forever and always. Again, we're trying to embed this over time, but there is some work and some of it's really front loaded. And you got to give folks this time and resources to do it. So don't just try to wheel stuff into existence. Actually set people up for success. So, I don't know. There's some bullets. We're pushing an hour, y'all. I know. It's an hour on a Saturday. Huh. But I don't know. It feels like we've covered a lot. It feels like we've covered a lot. I mean, there's so much stuff that we could pack into here, stuff that holds us back, that I don't know really holds us back. I think it's just normal parts of change, like resistance to change at various levels in the organization. Infrastructure issues. We kind of hit it with the time and resources thing, resourcing issues. A lot of times we find that it's not issues as much as it's we don't want us. Yeah, those kind of things. We can find, you know, we can find a dollar. We can find an hour. We can find those things. You know, there's other things here that we know with just kind of general change management, like not communicating well in varying types of mediums, you know, getting messaging to people in the way that they need to hear it, the format in which they need it, right? All those other kind of things. You know, there's another one there that probably ties into a lot that we've already said, stuff like kind of this dreams of grandeur where we think that we're just going to push the big red button and change will be ours. And it never works that way. We had a lot of that at the beginning, that it is a slow slog through the mud and the muck that feels a lot slower than it is a lot of times. But when we actually zoom out, we tend to find out that, okay, yeah. We're doing a lot better than what I thought we were actually. So much have changed. So much has changed once I zoom out. So yeah, I think we hit a bunch. I think we're good on this one. I don't know. Let me know, thehopnerd@gmail.com. You know, some of the other kind of key kind of holdbacks that you've seen kind of in the hop journey. I spent a lot of time with practitioners kind of all over the map of this, working with them and being around them. And these are some of my personal ones that I've seen within organizations. And I find that these are pretty similar with a lot of other folks that are like 7, 8 years, 10 years into this journey. They're going, yeah, I wish, you know, within that first year, we would have not just beat this plan to death because we wasted a year of just planning when really the first draft of the plan would have been good and we could have just got started. We could have started with these really meaningful conversations and workshops and we could have got operational learning up a lot faster than what we really did. And we would, you know, this where we're at year 10, we would have been more like doubling our result. I hear that a lot, and I've seen that quite a bit. And on most of that stuff, again, it's all like good reason. We're thinking we're going to go slow. We're going to be strategic, and we're not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater, which no one's encouraging you to do that. But you got to actually move. Like, you actually got to get started. You actually got to get on a different path if you want to say you're doing things differently. All the stuff that we talked about, I don't want to just kind of repeat it to you. But yeah, there you go. I hope you found some value in today's episode. But again, let me know your personal experiences with that, thehotnerd@gmail.com. And if you need a hand on your human and organizational performance journey, that's what I'm here for. Here, there, everywhere, out and about, all over the place, just helping folks in any way that I can. We get to do a ton of fun, and most important of all, meaningful work together. And I would love to do some of that work with you. So if you're looking for that next workshop, if you're looking for the workshop to get started with some of these ideas in your organization, if you're looking for that next keynote speaker, or you want someone to come and help you facilitate some learning teams or help your learning team facilitators or your safety practitioners or any of that stuff, support them as they kind of help guide you, whoever you have working you down this journey of human and organization performance. I'd love to be that person. Again, thehotnerd@gmail.com, or check out the website for more. Let me end right where I always like to start and end, which is thanks for being here. I know every person that does podcast stuff says this and says it a bunch, but you are the best part of getting to do this. Like I said, getting to come spend time with you, just getting to chat with you on the internet, getting to hop on random Teams calls. Many of you have my number. You text me. It's just cool to get to be in this community with you. This group of folks out here trying to leave our work worlds, and hopefully, even if just a small way, our worlds a little bit better than how we found them. Thanks for being you, and thanks for being here. Until next time, it is Sam Goodman, the Hot Nerd, signing off. Love you. Mean it. Bye, everybody. Bye. Thanks for listening, everybody. We greatly appreciate all of your support of the Hot Nerd Podcast and the Hot Nerd LLC. If you need a little bit of help with bringing human and organizational performance to life, if you would like to take your efforts around learning and improving to the next level, yep, I can help with that. Head over to www.thehotnerd.com or send me an email, thehotnerd@gmail.com. Until next time, bye, everybody. Bye.